This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 223 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, January 27th, 2016. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch. Marcus, we're back at it again. Another week of WordPress stuff to get into.
Yes, sir. And lots happened this past week in WordPress, and we got a little bit of news and some announcements and a great guest. So I'm very much looking forward to this show.
So speaking of our guest, the last time we had him on was back in July of 2015. So boy, how time flies. And we talked about his company, and we talked about mental health. But unfortunately, since he was in the middle of nowhere, New Mexico, his internet connection was pretty terrible, and I realized the audio quality was bad. But he's at home now in Oklahoma, and this should be a good show. He's got a much better quality connection, and we can actually hear him now. But his name is Corey Miller, and he is a former newspaper journalist who turned full-time entrepreneur. And in 2008, he started a company called iThemes. You may or may not know of that company. Hopefully you do, which builds web design software and offers cutting-edge web design training for thousands of customers around the globe. And Mr. Corey Miller, thanks a lot for joining the show. And, you know, as we were talking before, Marcus, I think Corey should be honored as a friend of the show. And we know, and you know what that means. That's a prestigious honor.
How many friends of the show do we have?
We have many. In fact, we've lost count. I mean, there's Triple J, there's J Trip, there's, you know, I guess, well, no, we can't name Matt Mulloway a friend of the show until the next time he comes on. But right. we got a lot of others. So
I don't think there's not 10, so you can count them on your hands. It's got to be like 5 or 6. I think that's it.
So Corey, please make yourself known. Welcome to the show, man.
Yeah. Hey, thanks guys for having me on the show again. We need to find a special emeritus status. Like if I get past like 5 shows, I think I number one should have a BMX bike sent to my house, and number two, some kind of special maybe coin, which was suggested maybe earlier in the pre-show.
Maybe an icon in the repository would be in order.
Oh, I got chills.
Icon. So a badge, right?
Get a badge. Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
So we got a lot to get into with you, Corey, but the first thing I want to do is congratulate you and your team over there at iThemes, because this month you guys are celebrating your 8-year anniversary. So congrats, man.
Yeah, thanks. Every year that we've been, you know, lucky, blessed enough to be in the business, it's always like this pinch yourself moment where it's like, how in the world did I get in this place? But I'm just so thankful. It's been 8 years. It's the longest job I've ever had, by the way. So,
What do you think in that 8 years' time was the turning point where, like, if you hadn't done this thing, there'd be no way we'd be talking about 8 years right now?
Oh, for sure. Back it, buddy. Taking the chance on that. And, a lot of it is luck, obviously, but the other part is like this hard work that probably no one ever sees, this toil every day to try to figure out what's next, how we continue to have and keep the best jobs we've ever had as a team of 25 now, getting ready to grow probably by another two by the end of the month or next month. And just kind of that pinch yourself moment. But yeah, I would say back it, buddy. I mean, it was one of those things where you step up to the plate, and I call it our grand slam, walk-off home run, except we can't just walk off. We got to keep up in the lineup. But for sure, back up, buddy. 6 years ago now in March.
So did you or the company, did you guys do anything to celebrate, or do you guys do an anniversary get-together and reminisce about either the last couple of years or at least the last year, and then sort of, you know, is this the moment where – you look ahead as to what you guys are going to do for the rest of the year?
So every year in January, we like mark it like here is the anniversary of the company, and we kind of celebrate that internally. In years past, we've done like birthday parties, different like funny things. If I were to say that we're marketing it with any special thing, we're going to have two of our remote team members into Oklahoma City next month with their spouses, and we're going to do a murder mystery party at our house. And it's going to be funny. It's a saloon Wild Wild West thing.
Nice.
But we've been doing these kind of funny things, and I would probably say that is like the closest to the celebration this year we're going to do, because we just – I think it's kind of for us, it's almost every single day, and I don't want to say that trivially. It's like, you know, every week I get to do this job is kind of a thing of, like, celebration. Looking back, I wonder what I would have said to myself, like, 6 years, if I could go back in the past and say, oh, hey, you're getting ready to do this product called Backup Buddy, and it's going to change everything, and it's going to help fund the next 5-10 years of your work and life, and you're going to work with some amazing people throughout the year. So it's kind of like that moment of, like, you know, in one of my business groups that I'm here in Oklahoma City that I am involved with, we did this exercise a couple days ago about, hey, what would your life look like 7 years from now? It was such an interesting thing to think. Our business would be 15 years old in 7 years. And to go, holy cow, this whole thing started from me pushing publish on a blog and then rolling that into freelance work and then eventually starting the iThemes. It's all kind of magical for me when I look back, because, you know, I'm still that kid that grew up in the one stoplight town, Lone Grove, Oklahoma, America. Barely made the honor roll. Went to college on a full ride scholarship, you know, kind of pinch yourself moment, even though I am the most unathletically talented person ever. And to somehow to wind up, like, stumbling successfully into this thing is just kind of this thing where, like, anything is possible.
Well, you know, they say life and business is the sum total of your decisions. And So to get as far as you've gotten, obviously you made a lot of tough choices along the way. And you referenced Backup Buddy as you know, the clear definitive moment within the company. What kind of hard choices did you have to make about Backup Buddy when it was first being conceptualized and the first time that you kind of saw that need?
Oh, man. You guys are really pushing me back in, like, the vault of my memory. Jeff warned me you guys would be doing this.
We're gonna get to Backup Buddy, but I wanted you know, if you two would be so kind as to hop into my flexing capacitor DeLorean,
okay.
I want to go back into 2008.
Okay, we'll put that on hold for a second.
Yeah, we're gonna get there, because you're right. It's a flagship product, but you know, I was having some fun. I was doing some research going back to the time where iThemes initially launched, and of course we talked about this before, where I met you at WordCamp Dallas 2008. You guys are just sort of getting organized, starting the company, but now, I came across this post in March of 2008 by Ian Stewart, who works at Automattic now as a theme wrangler. But he used to run a site, and kind of still does. It's called Theme Shaper, and it was a theme-related site in the WordPress community. And way back when, he started the contest where he asked people to share their ideas on what a default theme should be, because the discussion at the time was, if we were to replace Kubrick, which was the theme, you know, it had the blue header, it was white, had rounded corners. Matt was a huge fan of that theme. If we could change that to something else, what would it be? And it was this contest where people shared ideas, and whoever had the best ideas won licenses to iThemes products. Oh, go figure, right? And I hold a grudge against you, Corey, because you didn't pick my idea. You didn't rank it as the first one. Instead, I was the runner-up. Andrew Rickman actually won first place. And just kind of looking back at it, because we've gone through several default themes now over the past few years. So I thought it was great to look back on what some people thought a default theme should be. And the best response or the set of ideas that you ranked as the winner of that contest is where Andrew says that a default theme should be a set number of simple predefined layouts using accepted CSS techniques. Speed is a priority with a minimal amount of functions in the theme. Simple HTML with as little PHP as possible. No changes necessary that cannot be accomplished through the admin panel. A theme that follows best practices and can serve as a teaching tool and doesn't aim to be the theme to end all themes. And so, kind of looking back at that, and the one about changes accomplished through the admin panel, it's kind of funny how we could do things like that now through the customizer all these years later. But sort of looking back at that and the ideas of a default theme, I just wanted to get your take on some of the default themes that you've seen in WordPress in the recent past few years. Are we on the right track here?
So first and foremost, I still mourn the fact that Kubrick is not with us. I mean, as far as...
Really?
Oh, man, that's nostalgia. I mean, thinking back when I first installed WordPress and, like, Kubrick, I know it was on some blogs, and I don't know. It's just, it may be part nostalgia, but that theme had some, like, gravitational pull with my heart. And so when I was reading this back, and I appreciate the heads up about this, because I had totally forgot about this, Jeff. But, you know, Kubrick was, like, part of the magic of WordPress when I started with it about 9 or 10 years ago. So first and foremost, Kubrick.
I was the very first one to put an animated GIF in the header of Kubrick.
Oh, man, I don't even want to imagine what that looked like.
Yeah, man, I invented the slider before it was even...
Oh, you're the one to blame.
We're totally the geeks that, like, some other, like, some guy that grew up in high school and, like, worked on cars or something, be like, hey, you know, I put this, whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, and I changed it, like, every week, too.
Yeah. Oh, man, Kubrick has a special place in my heart. Number two, I was going to say before answering your actual question, Jeff, was that Ian is one smart dude.
Oh, yes, he is.
Good fortune to actually meet him in person a couple times, and he, you know, he's you impressed me, Jeff, with your, like, recall of WordPress history. really, seriously, you know, we're all.
I impress myself sometimes.
Yeah, Ian is, like, seriously the archivist. He is the historian too. You guys would make a good pair just talking about the history of WordPress. But you know, this contest was his idea. The fact that new default theme was part of the deal, and I, you know, as best as I could recall, it was like, Ian, that's a great idea. I want to be a part of it. I'll have to look back at my email, and I probably got that email when he hit me up. But you know, this was awesome. The forethought of what he had in mind, and then of course now he's part of the theme team at Automatic, doing some excellent work. And so to your question about default themes, I've been really impressed with the default themes that have come out the past couple of years. I was just testing BackerBuddy live, and I needed to activate a theme just to kind of test a component, and it was the default themes. And I was like, God, these are beautiful. These are really beautiful, clear, simply designed themes, and there's a reason why they are as popular as they are.
Do you have a favorite amongst that group of default themes? I mean, I thought 2014 was awesome, but I'd like 2015.
Absolutely. I go back to, I'm trying to think back here, was it?
2010 was one of the first, and it was insanely popular.
Yeah. I would say that first one captured a lot of attention for me just because it was like white space, good topography, but the other ones that have come out since then, 2014, 2015, 2016, of course, I think all have, like, really cool elements to them that you can tell there's just, like, a bunch of people working on this project trying to contribute some really great design ideas, and I think we see the results of it. And WordPress, by the way, is better of it. You know, Ian talking about this contest back in 2008, and now we're sitting here in 2016 talking about default themes as being, like, a part of our life.
An annual event.
Exactly.
So, first of all, thank you for leaving iThemes.com, the website, crawlable, because it's great to look at in the Wayback Machine. This was perfect. The Wayback Machine was kind of my internet DeLorean. It was pretty cool to go back in time to see the various products and front page designs of iThemes.com. And in April 2008, one of the flagship themes that was on display was called Corporate 2.0. And it was advertised as having a Web 2.0, professional look. Six pre-built color styles, integrated blog component, and it had easy-to-move widgets. I just wanted to know, do you remember that theme?
Absolutely.
Of course you do.
I bought that. That was one of my first themes.
There you go.
That is awesome. You know, remarkably, you guys are going to be shocked at this. Most of those themes that were done in 2008, I think almost all of them, except maybe three of them, are still in active production and maintained.
Wow.
No, are you serious? Wow. Mm-hmm. Are you including, still getting active sales on them?
Oh, no.
No.
Okay. But I wouldn't say we get active sales, but our first theme, Essence, is still maintained actively. And the reason why I know that, shockingly, is because, I can't remember, was a couple months ago, there was a change coming in. I believe it was 4.4, and it would have affected a lot of those themes. And some of the team was going back to maintain and like update those, and they were like, hey, I just saw this. And they would like show me something. I was like, holy crap, we're actually still maintaining that. Awesome.
Do you still do like the business card theme and the brochure theme and some of those?
Oh, ones? Marcus! Now, see, I really owe you a hoodie now, because I'm still like infatuated with those. That's my secret little obsession.
Yeah.
I was looking at notepad theme, and I had one of our guys kind of redo my blog the last couple weeks. And I was like, hey, I gave him a link to that notepad theme that was like, you know, 8 years ago. Yeah. And I was like, hey, this is why I like this. And I don't know. So, golly, both of you guys, like, have some serious, awesome history.
Well, ironically enough, that's probably the perfect resolution for mobile display now.
Oh, there you go. Oh, see, I hear you. I see how prophetic I was. Like, you know. Yeah. Thinking of the future of, like, there'd be these small screens and stuff? No.
So I do have something else interesting I discovered via the Wayback Machine. On the front page of the iThemes website in 2008, there was a theme called Revolution Magazine, and it had a link to an eJunkie's affiliate link. Now, if memory serves me correct, the Revolution Magazine theme was, at the time, just before Studio Press, I think it was just called Revolution by Brian Gardner. What was up with that? Did you have some kind of partnership deal or something going on there?
Yeah. So Brian and I are very, very good friends. We struck up a friendship because I was blogging. He was ahead of me in his theme design stuff, and I found one of his blog theme designs and was using it on my blog at the time. Reached out to him, we had some things in common, struck up a really good friendship. And so he really helped me get started with iThemes, helped me produce a couple of themes that I just knew my talent level at the time was not good enough. And so he helped us get a couple of the first themes that we got out off the ground for us. And then, you know, just a good friend and supporter, but probably why a Revolution theme was on there was inventory. You know, we had as one of the first premium theme people in the space, commercial product people in WordPress, you know, just there was very few of us, and having something else to sell. In fact, Wayback Machine link that you gave me, Jeff, I noticed there's a Woo Themes ad in the bottom of that. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't see that.
I want to click on it and see if I can get an affiliate commission.
Yeah. That's awesome. So now, late that year, 2008, you know, this is your founding year, your company, iThemes, introduced a theme called Flex. And this was a WordPress theme that at the time was really, it was innovative. I mean, it had over 1,000 possible layouts. It had some built-in signature features. And kind of looking back at the history of iThemes, I just want to get your perspective on this, but would you say that Flex is, you know, a product, or at least one of the first products that really put iThemes on the map for a lot of people?
Yes, and it, I would say so, and it solved a problem that we had. We would release themes that whole year, and every single time to a T, we'd have, let's say, a layout with a right sidebar, and someone would go, could it be on the left?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Or could it have widgets? Yeah. And so we were like, okay, well, how do we solve this? And so we did this retreat in southern Oklahoma. We brought everybody in. We're like, okay, what if we did this? And it became Flex. And remarkably, Builder came out about a year later. And people still, after Builder was infinite. Like, essentially, you could create any kind of layout you want. But Flex was pretty much standard. And we said, I think it was over 1,000 layout options or something. And people still, for probably 2 years after Builder was released, were still like, I'm still using Flex. And I get it now, maybe in retrospect, going, okay, it was still some standard options that somebody could pick from instead of infinite. You know, I think people want and still do a pre-designed set of options that they can just pick from. But you know, there's a book out there about decisions being a big problem. Like, so we've got too many decisions in the world, and I think that was part of it. Why Flex was like, first, it was very early, something that you know, obviously Christine, our longtime developer with us, had helped really build, and it was early, and then it presented some options that weren't available at the time. Now, people that are going to listen to the podcast now are going to say, like, God, there's so many things that are way, 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 way past that. But, you know, we're talking about 7 years ago. So.
Yeah, we're talking about if people wanted to move the sidebar where you could put widgets in, you'd have to go into your themes functions.php file or some template file and mess around with all kinds of PHP code because there were no options back in those days. And, you know, I was... to circle back around back to the idea of default themes, the discussion in 2008, a lot of people suggested that we should just have a skeleton theme, something that's bare bones that people could start from scratch from. But in my experience, I think a skeleton theme where you're pretty much staring at a blank slate is almost as bad as having a theme with about a bajillion options. Now, me personally, I want to have a theme that fits the design and layout that I like, but it provides me the options to change some colors and some things like that around. But I don't want to have a design degree to put the boxes here and adjust the size of the boxes there. And Marcus has done some client work, and you know, I think there is a happy medium that that's very hard for theme developers to strike. Whereas you don't want to have a blank slate, but you also don't want to have too many options. Although, you know, as of late, you look at some of the themes on ThemeForest these days, they're nothing but options.
Exactly. I think we're really talking about two different distinct customer groups. The person that wants the basically a naked theme, they just want the HTML and CSS there, and they want to style how they want. That's more a really hardcore designer, what we would know as like a very good front-end developer today. But the way we built themes was for the person that said, I don't want to pay, you know, at the time, maybe in 2008, $1,500, today, $5,000 to $10,000, who knows, for a custom design, but I want to, you know...
No, the person who wants to be able to click a button so they can have the sidebar here and a couple widgets there without paying out the nose for a WordPress PHP developer to do it for them.
Yeah. And I was talking to Cody, our designer that was helping our site. I said, listen, he was working on my redesign. I said, what they're paying for is that your experience and expertise to give them a head start, to give some basic thought to here's a shell of something that they can take and make better. Now, the best ones that have done this were not us. I mean, we didn't dial that in, but of course, StudioPress did an amazing job. WooThemes did an awesome job. Press 75, Jason Schuller, my friend over there at the time, they did such a great job of giving somebody a head start, kind of like a paint by numbers, but when they saw the theme, they could say, oh man, if I just plug my logo here and I do this simple tweaks, this is an awesome site. Those are the people that stood out with theme design back in 2008. And, of course, today it's gotten much more complex. But if you
kind
could...
The difference between a canvas and a coloring book.
There you go. It's adult coloring. That's what it is. You nailed it, Marcus.
So Builder comes out after Flex, but then 2010, you get you guys create, I think this was your first plugin. You enter the plugin territory with Backup Buddy, and which I found it hard to believe that Backup Buddy is 6 years old. So, man, how time flies. And, you know, so let's talk about Backup Buddy now, focus on that. And how did that become the flagship, almost a cornerstone of iThemes that propelled you to exist for another five, six, who knows how many years into the future?
Mm-hmm.
And so did you sort of put on the whiteboard, said, this is going to be our game changer, this is going to propel us into the future, or did you have no idea that it would take you this far, you and the company?
So one thing that you might not know is with Flex, if you probably think back, you'll remember this, but with Flex, we actually shipped a plugin called Billboard.
And that I remember that.
It solved one simple problem, is that to put an image in your sidebar, you had to actually copy and paste HTML code. And so everything we've tried to do is like, hey, give people a head start. Don't make them coders. Make them people that can like build the web and do cool stuff without having to have a computer science degree. So Billboard was actually our first plugin. Now, it wasn't sold separately of Flex. But anyway, so and it, by the way, that's still in active use today. Wow. Okay, so Backup Buddy, how that started was we had two, right after the other, almost like catastrophic server crashes. We had a hard drive meltdown, and then we had a, I think it was some kind of recursive permission thing. I don't know the technical term for it. Anyway, we lost a lot of data. We lost client sites that we were actually hosting at the time. And Christine comes to me and he goes, you know what? Okay, twice, by the way. We try to learn things the first time, not the second and third time. Third time's pretty bad, but second's, you know, close there. Two times having catastrophic server crashes, not having backups, Christine goes, you know what? There really isn't a really good, solid backup, restore, and migration plugin for WordPress. And I was like, what that honestly told me was, that's 100% of the market. Everybody should have a backup plugin, a backup solution for the WordPress site. And we had just hired a great guy named Dustin Bolton, and who is just working his tail off on Backup Buddy 7.0. He is a magician. I mean, he's so good. My partners had recommended Dustin. We hired him. We didn't know what we were going to do with him when he first started. And then I went to WordCamp Boston in 2010 and talked with Michael Torbert, All-in-One SEO. And we were just kind of talking, and I really realized that, hey, there's this opportunity. Now, there was plugins out there already existing, but, you know, this market is untapped, and it's there's a higher barrier to entry for plugins and themes. And Christine has just given me this opportunity and this idea. Let's start a backup plugin, and that eventually became, so probably about January, February, I think WordCamp Boston happened. I came back from Boston. I said, Dustin, what if you built this? And after Chris had given the idea to us, and he chased it for a couple months, and I believe it was March 2010, released Backup Buddy. So I wouldn't tell you that it was anything past that. It was like, oh, this is a great idea. It doesn't exist. I want to get into plugins. And it hits potentially everybody in WordPress. And we had just come off the scars of, like, losing our own data. I lost photos that I can't get back because I only had them on my blog, you know, because of this whole deal. So Backup Buddy was like, it just checked all the boxes.
And the most important aspect, because I went through a lot of backup plugins before Backup Buddy, is the restore function. You can back them up easily, but it's that restore that's the humdinger in the process.
That was the two things, the restore and migration, you know, because a lot of our freelance customers are one of our core, really our core customer group, said, hey, we develop stuff on, you know, temporary domains or locally, and we want to be able to move those easily to live domain sites. And so that's always been like this mainstay part of Backup Buddy. We joked, we're like, should we have called it like Migration Buddy or Move Buddy or or Store Buddy or something like that, because so many people have appreciated that particular function. And I'll tell you today, testing 7.0 Stash Live, where you can just upload your import buddy file to a folder on your server, and just with a couple clicks, move all those backup files into, you know, get your site back up or move it to a new domain. I had to chat Dustin, and I go, holy cow, man, you just really built an amazing plugin over the last 6 years. It's only getting better and better.
Yeah, that for me, using that plugin, it enabled me as a, you know, as a developer to create something for a company or a business, even if they had a static HTML site that may have been built on Dreamweaver or whatever, and then, as you mentioned, do it on a stage domain, and yes, then be able to migrate them into the new system within an hour. And so that really impressed the clients at the time, because it wasn't this whole, hey, we're going to take 2 weeks to develop the pages, they're going to look lame until we get them all done or put all the images in. It was literally, hey, do you like what you see on the stage site? Great, we're going to have this over, and within an hour, it's going to be live.
Absolutely. Well, we were still like really close to release of this plugin. We had a workshop in Dallas, and we kind of talked about it, and one of the people, they were like, hey, listen, we're paying somebody $200 to $300 a project to do what this plugin will do by default. And I was like, okay, so you'll pay $300? And they're like, heck yes, because in the first use of this, we save that kind of money. So, Mark, looking back, I've been trying to think to myself, how do we like do 15 more of these things? Because we'll keep doing what we want. But I'll tell you, back in 2010, it was a totally different market. I mean, today you got multiple backup plugins. I mean, very, very good e-commerce solutions out there. Everything, there's a plugin for that, and there's probably multiple of them, and they're pretty good.
So Marcus and I were talking about this last week. I thought it would be prudent to ask you. But, you know, iThemes over the years has transitioned from just selling themes to selling some plugins and then providing training and then getting the software as a service game. So we were just wondering, have there been any discussions over the years to change the name of iThemes to something else, to create a subsidiary? I mean, why have you remained with iThemes, the company, if you do more than just themes?
Yeah, and you know that you guys know the history, but you know, we had two brands, webdesign.com, and we had Plugin Buddy. We released Plugin Buddy when we released Backup Buddy, because we thought iThemes doesn't fit plugins, all this kind of stuff. So we did Plugin Buddy, and then we had webdesign.com because that was training and all this kind of stuff. What we found out was when people would talk about us, they wouldn't say Plugin Buddy, they wouldn't say webdesign.com, although that was an amazing domain name. They'd say iThemes. No matter where I go in life, apart from iThemes, everybody will associate iThemes, the name, the brand, the history, with me. You know, even if I'm, let's say hypothetically, in 5 years, not a part of the team and the company, they'll still attach my bio, whether I put it or not, with iThemes. And that's what we found with the products. And time and time again, somebody would go, Backup Buddy by the iThemes guys. You know, that was just part of the brand. And we're like, you know what? That's okay. We're going to embrace that. And I've tried to share that experience, by the way, with some other plugin and product space people in WordPress, to say, like, what got you here, the thing that people know you as, will always be attached. And when we tried to break off of that, it just didn't make sense. So we're iThemes. And we do plugins primarily.
Ironically, though, I mean, Apple has kind of helped your brand along in terms of their own naming convention with iEverything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Well, that makes sense. We have iPod, iPhone, iThemes.
Yeah, it's in the culture.
Yeah. And it's like I plus the thing that we actually don't do or make – well, we still do, but we don't make any of our money off of that particular product with the company anymore. So we just embraced it. We said, you know, iThemes is something bigger. It's about making people's lives awesome by building easy-to-use software. And at this moment, it's for WordPress.
So we're going to get into Backup Buddy 7.0 and one of the new features, highlight features that's going to be coming with it. But you know, within 8 years of running the business, I imagine you've gone through some ebbs and flows, highs and lows. Oh, I'm a rapper. And in the 8 years you've been in business, what are some of the toughest obstacles you've overcome, both professionally and personally? And then on the other side of that question, what are the most significant achievements you've had?
Everything that I would say in all of those categories of questions you asked me would be people. Okay. The highest highs, the lowest lows. So, and I'm sorry, sometimes I forget the past a little bit, like we've talked. But, you know.
In the previous show back in July when we talked about mental health, we did cover one of your lowest lows and some things you accomplished to get through that, to get back on experiencing some highs.
Yep, absolutely. It's all been about people. People come and go sometimes, and that's the hardest part of it. Having to say goodbye to people, or you know, you weren't a right fit for us, but you're a right fit for someone else. Those are always the hardest times, and the biggest celebrations are the people that blossom and bloom as part of our business. Let's see, it's been 2 years ago now, and I'm still trying to get over it. But Brad Ulrich, our designer, longtime designer. A guy I knew before I even started iThemes, left to go to work for Sonic Drive-In corporate office here in Oklahoma City. We still mourn that because Brad is the most phenomenal designer I've ever had the opportunity to work with. He's so, so talented. And I begged him, true story, begged him to come back. And we all, like at iThemes, are like, you know, whatever you want, just come back. But those are such good times, too, because he's now had a baby boy. My wife and his wife have become dear friends, and they spend time together, and we still get to see Brad, which is awesome. So those are the positive, bittersweet type stories because, like, I am always going to root for Brad. He is such a phenomenally talented person. You know, and so it all comes down to people. And I think a lot of people don't always understand that. You guys probably do because we're friends, and you kind of know the story, and you go way back. But a lot of our Christian friends don't understand that, like, there's relationships that hurt. Like, as you're learning as an entrepreneur like I was, who before starting iThemes had only managed a part-time person, there's really painful stuff that you look back and go, gosh, if I'd only thought about this or said this or done this, I could have saved some heartache. So it's always, always, always about people. I mean, the job is phenomenal. It's fun to come in and build software for people. What sucks is the fact that not everyone is a great fit for the business, the way we're shaped, and we try to get better at learning that. In fact, and I'm not, you guys interrupt me, but last week we had a developer in Oklahoma City, and we're like, you know, we learned quite a bit, and we took him out to breakfast. We're just kind of like, you know what, we want this to be as relaxed as possible because really the most important thing for us is, do you fit with us? Do you enjoy time with us? Do we enjoy time with you? That's the most critical thing because, gosh, you know, being with the team for this team now, I just love spending time with them. And we're going to have them under our home, like I said, for the murder mystery party next month. We're looking forward to meeting their wives who we haven't met. And but I tell you what, beyond profit, profit's essential. You got to make money to be able to survive and stay in business and all that kind of stuff. It's always, always, always the joy, the true reward is people, the relationships you have, things you meet. And this is one of the reasons why I love going to Pressonomics every year. Now this has only been like a two-year thing. The first couple of years, and I confess this to Josh and Sally, I said I didn't really enjoy going to Pressonomics because I always got this like, I harvested this bitter, like, envious thing about all these talented people doing cool stuff. Now it's so much different. I go back, it's like therapy for me. It's like being with my people, the people that get me, I get them. They're doing cool stuff, and I'm rooting for them. But I'm also rooting for
myself.
Guess
what? You're doing cool stuff, too.
Abso-frickin-lutely.
So speaking of... Oh, go ahead, Marcus.
The one thing about that is I think, unlike... Let's just say we were all in the Salesforce community and we were all making add-ons and crap like that. They will not help in the same sense that WordPress community people will. And
yeah,
I mean that's huge, because, you know, Corey, you'd be able to tell somebody at Pressnomics some of the secret stuff that you're working on and get their input and get their feedback. And I think that there would be too many sharks in any other community that would just try and rip people off. And, you know, that's the nice thing about this. And I felt the same way too. I was like, well, what's so great about this presenter? Who cares? You know, all that. But then you start to go, well, maybe I should just talk to this person and figure it all out as far as what I want to do. And, you know, maybe they can lend me their ear and, you know, take a few minutes to take a look at my project. And that turned out to be the case. And it's been nothing but growth since then. So I think it's the community that's got a ton to do with that.
You're absolutely right, Marcus. Man, me and you should spend more time talking. Man, we're just like,
I have to put you on for another show.
We're like a reverb. But I got to be the VVVP or whatever next time. I got to go whatever the next level beyond friend of the podcast is. I got to go to the next level, right?
Yeah.
Well, we may have to create a level just for you because we don't have it yet.
Yeah.
Now, speaking.
But what you're saying, Marcus, is okay, so I read a ton of stuff because I want to learn and grow and I want to improve my life and every aspect of it. And everything I'm reading about happiness says that your happiness truly is, one is gratitude, but the other is making other people's lives better, helping other people, be happy in a sense. Now, it's their responsibility to be happy, not yours. However, I think when you look at everything I've read about happiness and read a ton of stuff, it's just about you find your greatest joy in life about making other people's lives awesome. And it's something that's really reverberated in my life and what I've tried to like double down on and say, okay, now we've got profit. I want to be transformational. I want to be purposeful in what we do, transform lives. But if you really push down that, and this is what I think you were kind of pushing in on, Marcus, is that at the core of this is the open source philosophy. I share. There are people that make six figures that go home at night and contribute to the WordPress project. Because either in the forums, in the code, in tutorials, in the WordCamps, whatever it is, because they're so passionate about this thing called WordPress, this piece of software, but they know that the impact is making someone's life awesome. And I think that's what you were kind of like pushing in on, that I've kind of seen within the community. So I'll tell you, open source philosophy has a deep-seated, it has soaked into my soul about being generous. That's really at the foundation of open source software. That's what makes WordPress so great and will make it great into the future. It will iterate, it will adapt, it will go where it needs to go because people want to use this software as a vehicle to make people's lives awesome.
Now, speaking, I know some people out there listening to the show going, get on with it, get with the here and now, I want to know what's going on. So we're going to fast forward to today and talk a little bit about Backup Buddy 7.0, which is going to have a slew of new features, one of which is called Live Stash, and it's yet another service that you're introducing to your suite of products. It's going to be attached to Backup Buddy 7.0. And before we get into Live Stash, the first thing I want to talk about is Backup Buddy Stash. What is that, by the way?
So it's a remote storage option for Backup Buddy that we've had for 3+ years now. We offer a gig of free storage for your backups to go remotely offsite. The key is, no matter what software you use, Backup Buddy or whatever else it is to have your backups offsite, so that if a crash happens like we've had in the past, a hack happens, your backups are off-site. This is why I use Dropbox for everything I do, because I want my backups, my vital information to be off my computer, off-site somewhere, remotely stored, safely protected, all that kind of stuff, so that if I ever need them, I can go. If something happens to my computer, which has happened, I can go find those files on Dropbox or whatever else service I am, and that's essentially Stash. It's an easy-to-use remote place to put all your backups.
So Stash Live, from what I understand, is sort of a live file security monitor that can also do real-time backups of your site, which includes database and files. But I know of a service that already does that in the WordPress community. It's called VaultPress.
Absolutely.
And so they're pretty established. So why create another option?
So two parts to that answer. Number one is, the past 6 years we've been doing Backup Buddy, and the support has always been a challenge for us, like helping solve problems on, you know, a variety of hosting setups. You can imagine from the worst to the best, shared hosting environment to a managed environment, all that kind of stuff. It's been a little bit of a nightmare that the gang has done a great job of. So we did Stash Live primarily because the biggest obstacle for Backup Buddy, the biggest liability we had as a business, was the fact that a certain number of people on very crappy, I don't care what anybody says, crappy hosting, and it's out there, you guys know who it is, or you know, some of the main offenders, crappy hosting, we said, we can't rely on them to make it better. We have to make it better. And I believe in, there's a great book called The Obstacle is the Way, by Ryan Holiday. I have it on audiobook. I listen to it in my truck, on my commute to work sometimes, because it's such good stuff. But I believe obstacles are opportunities. And so we finally decided after 6 years, we have to stop waiting for the shared hosting industry to get better in WordPress. We have to do something about that, and that became Stash Live. Essentially, we took all the resource-heavy stuff that these shared hosts don't like, because it comes down to a financial component. They sell unlimited hosting, yet they have on the back end, they tell you can't do all this stuff. And we said, okay, wait, we're not going to wait for that to change. We're going to change it ourselves. So we took the heavy components that they don't like, and that hurts our mutual customer. We're going to take that. We're going to put it on our own servers and help people actually make good backups. We think backups should be independent, by the way, of hosts. We don't think your host you should have to rely on your host to have that. You should have the independence, the freedom to move your site and have access to your data whenever you want, at any time. And so I know a lot of the managed hosts do backups. That's great, but I personally believe that independence, having freedom, is a good thing, and not relying on your host who you rent server space from to do those backups is a key thing. And so so the first thing is, you know, just solving a big problem for us and our mutual customers is that a large part of them are on very crappy. You guys know shared hosting has just gotten worse and worse over the years.
Well, I mean, looking at VaultPress pricing plans, it's not cheap. I mean, you better be making some money off your website, or it better be a heck of an investment to pay for something like a service like VaultPress. And are these people who are using these shared web hosting accounts, which are typically budget host, you know, accounts for $3, $4, $5 a month, if that, are these the same people that are willing to spend the money to pay for your products at iThemes and maybe Backup Buddy with Lifestash? Are these the same group of people you're targeting?
Absolutely, because we know, because a big part of them are on those crappy shared hosts. And so we know that people like Cheapo, I saw emails today for 60% off like a $5 plan. Right? This is the state of the web right
How
now.
How low can where, you go?
Exactly. And I thought to myself, I should buy that. I'm going to put it on there and say, you know, you can still get a backup with Stash Live now. The second part of your first question, Jeff, was like VaultPress. VaultPress came out after Backup Buddy in 2010. We came out with the restore and migration feature as a default. I love and respect automaticians I've met. They do great, phenomenal work. I do believe competition is good. We make each other better for the end user.
So do I.
You hit on something, though, which is true. VaultPress might serve a different market than we do. We want you to be able to work on any host, and, of course, I'm sure VaultPress would say the same thing. What we're going to say is, like, actually, with Stash Live, now this goes with Backup Buddy itself, is like, it how valuable is the work you put online and the content you produce and the theme and the custom work and all that effort you do, how valuable is that to you? That's the ultimate question, whether you're choosing WordPress, BackBuddy, or whatever solution you're out there, is how valuable is the content and the work you've done online to you? My wife is starting a blog. She's been working tirelessly on it, and she's got, you know, a bunch of posts saved. She's trying to get the design just perfect and everything. And those posts are extremely valuable. All the work she's done is extremely valuable to her. So I kind of hope she has a backup solution on there, you know, to save her work,
well,
right?
What do you mean you kind of hope she has a backup solution on there? What do you mean? I mean, are you going to, you know what? You should tell her about this new thing called Stash Live, come up with Backup Buddy 7.0.
She just told me, she's sitting in the same room as me. She said, since you're doing a podcast at 9:30, I'm using WordPress, okay?
Oh
no! I'm just kidding.
Wow.
No, I'm just kidding. So, but yeah, that's one of the first things we do. Backups are part of a security strategy, and so backups. So, you know,
it's a very nice, you know, and in addition, it's a very nice complimentary addition to a product that everybody or that your customers, these Backup Buddy customers, already love and use. It's a great value add-on, and from what I understand it. All Backup Buddy users, active subscribers, are going to be able to get 1 free gig of space for their backups. Correct? When it gets released,
they already get a 1 gig. Now they'll be able to use it for live, real time backups.
Oh, okay.
So really, the differentiation now is we're adding two distinct different ways to do backups. One, you can do them on your own hosting, use your own resources. And by the way, many of our customers like that way, want to keep that way, and we want them to say, good, keep doing it that way. But there's another part that says, okay, let's use your resources, iThemes, to do the hard lifting, the zip files, the streaming over files, all that kind of stuff. And so it's two ways. Some people will say, well, I still want to store my backups in Amazon S3. Great. That's called Backup Buddy. We've been doing that for 6 years now. I'm not sure exactly when Amazon S3 as a remote destination got put into Backup Buddy. I think it was near the end of 2010. But that's great. That didn't do that the traditional way in Backup Buddy. But for a lot of people, we think a ton of people are going to say, hey, you take that. You take that hard lifting stuff over here. You do that. And that's where we've been giving for 3 years now, Stash 1 gig of space. And so that's just prioritizing. Budgeting out, okay, you get a gig of space. We've kind of figured like, and I'm like roughing out here, you know, a default WordPress installation, all that kind of stuff is probably about 30 to 50 megs, I think, as best I can remember. So you got a gig of space, measure that out. You know, my wife's blog is going to be lean right now. She has few posts, theme files, all that kind of stuff. So her files are going to be small. She can totally fit, you know, a lot of data in that free gig and be able to back up her site so that in the event of a hack, a server meltdown, whatever, she can have access to get her site back.
And, you know, there's another use of Backup Buddy that I've used it for that's probably, I don't know, maybe a little unconventional, but I liked using it in the sense of I would set up a site with all the plugins that I want and the theme that I want and know that you're going to have specific clients that are going to want that kind of theme set, pre-configure it for myself so that I have an ample stage to, you know, do the rest of the work on, and then save out 5 or 6 different versions of different sites with Backup Buddy. And then when it came to starting up the project again, I just had to migrate it and then maybe click update to update any plugin revisions that may have come out, and I was ready to go.
Exactly. See, you're smart because you want to work smarter, not necessarily harder. And using Backup Buddy in that way is brilliant because you're saying, okay, this is the way I like to do, like this is a template, so to speak, of how, you know, I can work smarter, not harder, and get, you know, save precious time. And I love that example.
Yeah, it saved hours every time.
So one of the main questions I had is, how is the communication between WordPress websites and Live Stash? How is it secured?
That's a good question, Jeff.
I knew I'd get one that stumps you.
The biggest word is it's encrypted. I mean, the fact that it's secure.
Well, it better be.
Absolutely. You know, security is a big thing for us, of course. I can get you some of the more specs on that. But, you know, the fact that it's an encrypted thing and it's secure, it's protected. You don't have to worry about what you're doing. You know, your data being, vulnerable in any sense is a key aspect of the whole deal. And that's for, I think, you know, BackupBuddy and the rest of the iThemes product family is like making sure, of course, that we take security as a big measure. I think our biggest lessons as a company have been that learning from failure. We tried to learn from failure and do better.
One of the listener questions we had that they wanted me to make sure to ask you is, can BackupBuddy status features be used to auto-publish updates between databases like local staging and production? Does that sound familiar to you? Or I wonder, or maybe that could be done via BackupBuddy stash and sync. I don't know.
I'm sorry. So being able to stage sites, have a staging site with BackupBuddy Stash Live?
It says, you know, can it be used to auto-publish updates between databases like a local site, staging site, and production?
Okay, now that's, you know, part, I believe the question, I'm trying to think through all the nuances there, but, you know, staging is called deployment in BackupBuddy now.
Oh, okay.
You can have a staging site in BackupBuddy today. So you can have a production server and a staging server now, and that's called the deployment feature in BackupBuddy. So pushing changes between two sites that are kind of mirrored, or, you know, you change one here, you push it live, you know, make sure it's all stable and then push it live. That's all in BackupBuddy now. That was a huge release we did over the summer, I believe in June, July or so. That was our 6.0 late release that we spent a lot of time working. And by the way, laid a lot of the groundwork for what Stash Live will be. And Jeff, because I didn't have all the details, but I found them, can I give you your question about, is BackupBuddy Stash Live secure?
Yes. Not secure, but I mean how the connection, the communication between BackupBuddy Live Stash and the server.
Okay, here it is. Here's the answer. All data is transferred over an SSL encrypted connection. All data stored is encrypted with industry standard AES-256 encryption. Now, all I know
is 257? What?
Exactly. Is there not an armed guard at, you know? Anyway, so that
well, is... Well, that's heavy duty.
Straight from the developer. From the developer.
256 AES, that's pretty heavy-duty stuff. So I guess the obvious and last question I have for you tonight, sir, is when can people expect BackupBuddy 7.0 to be released with Stash Live?
Soon.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, thanks a lot. Way to be exciting. Well, I figured you would say something like, when it's done.
Yeah. What are we talking, a couple months? What are we talking here?
Oh, no, not a couple months at all. You're probably going to see it here in February. We like to under-promise, over-deliver, but I'll tell you, the team, including Dustin Bolden, Jordan Woolley, the entire team has worked so hard on this for months and months and months. I did a private journal entry, and I was just like, you know, development is an expiration, and it's sad because we didn't even talk about this until December because we wanted to make sure we could deliver on what we were doing. And so we barely mentioned to a couple of people in December, and now we finally actually said, okay, because we're sitting here testing it, we're seeing it, here it is. But I'll tell you soon, I was testing versions today, and I got this big smile on my face going, holy cow, this is going to transform the way our people, our community do backups. This is going to give them peace of mind, set it and forget it, know that everything's going well, and that when something happens, which it will, you know, inevitably, we've all had those kind of things happen, your backups will be secure, protected, and ready for you when you're ready to get back online. So I would expect something in the smiley face category in February.
Come on, Corey, put a drop date down. Let's get some heat on these developers.
You know, Marcus, as soon as I would tell you that date, I would get like 15 arrows shot at me going, what are you thinking?
Yeah, and I can almost guarantee you that the date would not be wrong. It would the event would probably not happen just because of the law. But
exactly, that's development, right?
But wow, great! So great news, Backup Buddy 7.0. In fact, if people out there, if listeners are interested on the iThemes blog, in fact, we even wrote a post on the tavern. You can look for that as well, which I'll link to in the show notes. But you guys did it's like a 45-minute webinar on what people can expect in Backup Buddy 7.0 with Stash Live. So you guys went in depth there.
Yeah, and that was tough because we were really honestly hoping for a January launch, and just it's nobody. Our devs have been working so hard. It's just, you know how it is. Development's exploration. You don't know what you're going to get in the swamp. Something happened, and I'm telling you, we want to get this just right. So we had scheduled that so we could kind of tease it out, because we haven't been good about teasing out our features that are coming, because we try to stay low to the ground, pretty humble, and say, like, just let our actions prove our words. And so anyway, but look for it here pretty soon. I think you're going to be pretty jazzed about it like I am.
So you Backup Buddy 7.0 gets released, it has Stash Live. What does iThemes do? Do you guys just breathe a collective sigh of relief, or you say, okay, do not rest on our laurels, let's get started on the next game changer?
Well, we're going to take a cue from your book, Jeff, and we're just going to go on sabbatical. We're just going to go.
That's a great idea.
Hey, we're just going to be like, no, we're good. Hey, guys, you're good. No, we never rest on the laurels. There's always seasons of time where we need to rest and rejuvenate, and of course take a deep breath. And Dustin and Jordan are going to need to take a deep breath after this. I've found that over 8 years, you got to keep pushing, you got to keep doing right by the customer, leading the customer, showing them a better future, because there's somebody else ready to take your place in their hearts and minds.
Yep.
And I tell you what, I love this job too much. I love my family, the family supported by this business, the people working in the business. And hey, we ain't stopping. It's just better and better. That's the focus. How do we get better and better for the customer?
So before we let you go, are there any conferences, either WordCamps or events like Pressonomics that you're going to be going to within the next 6 months here?
The only things I have on my calendar to date as far as WordPress goes is Pressonomics, which, are you guys going to be there?
I will not. Not this year.
No, not this time. A little too
soon. Guys,
I will be making – I have not been there since 2009 in late April. I think, yeah, at the end of April, I will be making a return trip to Chicago.
Nice. That's a
WordCamp Chicago, 2009.
Nostalgic one.
2009 is the one where Gravity Forms was – shown to me and born, sort of.
We were at the same one. That was the WordCamp. I got to sit down with Mr. Mullenweg and have a cocktail and talk some shop.
Oh, yeah, I think that's the same WordCamp where we talked about GPL and the steak.
Oh, yeah.
And you totally. Wouldn't open source it to anybody.
yeah, absolutely. So Pressonomics and then, of course, WordCamp US is always on my list, but that's like in December.
Right.
And there's a couple I've talking with them about how to get to them, like Ann Arbor. I've been talking to those guys up there. I haven't been to Michigan. I want to get up there. I've got a bunch of friends up there like Rebecca Gill. And
come on, man. What about WordCamp Oklahoma City? Let's go. I'm tired of waiting.
There's a rumor, man. There's a rumor.
Well, there's been a rumor for years. Come on now.
Well, when the rumor is true, expect you to get – I'm going to cash in on a bunch of IOUs over the year. I've got so many friends that have, like, you know, asked me to come, and I'm like, okay, now you're coming into Oklahoma City.
I will go. You've got my word.
When this happens, well, we're going to roll out the red carpet for you guys, so we'd love it if you guys came out. But now that's just a rumor, and by the way, you know, I try to shirk all responsibility and hard work typically, so but anyway, man, I wish you guys were going to Pressonomics, and I tell people, like, it's just a place to talk shop. You know, as an entrepreneur, I can't, it's hard for me to find relatable things for a lot of people in my life because they don't understand the nuances of being an entrepreneur. And Pressonomics is that key central point. Josh and Sally doing a phenomenal job doing this this conference for the last couple of years. And I'm just overjoyed to be a part of it, and I can't wait for it, honestly. It's I'm kind of giddy about it because it's just like last year I had so much fun just talking to people.
For someone like you, Pressonomics is like just a huge mastermind session all weekend. So that's what it is for a lot of people. So, well, Marcus, any final questions here for Corb before we let the honorary friend of the show depart on his evening?
I would love to know the top 10 rejected slogans for Stash.
Okay. Oh God, Marcus, you and I are like brothers. Okay. So we're in the meeting, we're like, what do we call this? And we had a project name for it, and it was called Live. And we're like, but it's really, it's a part of Stash and all this kind of stuff. So I kept this kind of in my heart, like I was writing down, I was thinking to myself, I shouldn't say this, I shouldn't say it. And I tried to stay pretty focused, serious in meetings like that. And I was like, well, we could call it Live on Stash. And the acronym could be Back at Buddy Loss.
Hmm. Oh, boy.
It got quite the laugh, yet it did not make it to the name. So, anyway, you know, we've had some funny project names over the year from stuff, and that's why I have this, like, foundational rule, never let a developer name a project, ever. I love our developers, but, you know, stay with code and let us worry about the front side of it. Even though, you know, that was my idea.
Developers have a tendency to want to mash up two words together and name it that. Like collabject or something, you know, something
exactly.
Like that.
Very like, you know, okay, who came up with the phrases child theme? A developer, right? Like, and so how many years have I spent trying to explain what a child theme is? That it is not actually to a certain segment of our customer base. It is not about babies.
How about custom post type? Oh, that one threw me for a loop for years.
Probably still. If you could explain that to me offline, Jeff, I'd really appreciate that.
Like, well, post formats. That's another one.
Yeah.
Well, man, thanks a lot for coming on the show again, spending a lot of your quality time with us. Again, congratulations on 8 years of being in business. For any business out there, that's quite an accomplishment. And you've been able to transition between different points and introducing different products and services, and you have quite the following. And, of course, we didn't even talk about Sync, but Sync is another awesome product you guys have that sort of is going to work with Backup Buddy, Stash Live, and tie a lot of things together that I think users are going to appreciate. So without further ado, man, how can people keep in touch with you and your musings online?
iThemes.com is where, you know, I have tended to blog a little bit more regularly, but also CoreyMiller.com. I hope to do more blogging, but, you know, four times a year is probably my limit.
Oh, thanks a lot, man, and all the best to you. Hopefully I run into you at some point this year at a work camp or an event. Love to, you know, anytime I get a chance to spend some quality time with you around a bar, it always ends up being memorable. So, you know, yeah. I want to have more memories of that, you know, in the near future.
I agree.
All right, man, thanks for coming on the show, and take care.
Thank you, guys.
And ladies and gentlemen, that was Corey Miller, founder of iThemes, celebrating 8 years of being in business. And Marcus, man, every time we have Corey on the show, we always get a lot of valuable insight, and we keep it real here.
Absolutely, and that's a testament to the community, again, that, you know, we can talk to the kings of the industry, the titans of WordPress, and, you know, they're just like us.
That they are. So in terms of WordPress news, I'll try and get through some things quickly here, but I did want to let people know that early bird tickets for WooConf 2016. Now, they didn't have an event in 2015, but they did have one in late 2014. Essentially, it's a conference devoted to all things WooCommerce. So it's actually going to be held in Austin, Texas this year on April 6th through the 8th. So early bird tickets have gone on sale. We'll have links to those in the show notes. In fact, I'm taking a look now, and the sale price is $499 through the end of January. Regular tickets will be sold for $599 until March 1st, when the last-minute price will go up to $699. So if you have an interest in WooCommerce and you're banking dough selling things and you want to learn about WooCommerce, that's the conference for you. But, wow, man, that's almost – I almost think that's what's the conference for developers? LoopConf. Yeah. That's almost those type of prices. I wonder why – I'll have to look into this, but that seems – really expensive. I mean, considering WooCommerce is acquired by Automattic and all that stuff, yada yada. So I don't know. I gotta figure out why the pricing's so high. But we'll get to the bottom of that. And we'll keep you updated. But that conference is coming up soon. And if you are looking to get involved with contributing back to WordPress, there's a really cool initiative set to take place the weekend of January 30th and 31st, which is this weekend. So there's this initiative they're going to start doing, and the first one is by the WordPress community team. It's called a Contributor Drive, and these initiatives are sort of like challenges, and the first one deals with the support forms. So it's like the challenge for this weekend is to answer 20 support requests in the forums. And now you don't have to do exactly 20, or you could do 30, or you could do 10, but just kind of get involved, get in there, answer some support questions. You can also join the forums channel on Slack. That's where the moderators hang out, and you can ask questions or get help for moderating topics in real time. But this is a great opportunity to not have to touch code, but reinvest back and contribute back to the WordPress project. And I know a lot of people in the community who initially got their start participating in the forums, and really, you know, that's a great way to learn the issues and the problems users are experiencing every day, whether it's with WordPress or with plugins or themes. And who knows, it might inspire you to either be a full-time support person, or, you know, come up with some knowledge or find a particular problem that a lot of people are having, and you somehow whip up a solution, and next thing you know, hey, you got a business going. So there's a lot of great things that can sort of come out of helping those on the support forums. But I participated a few times, and just the feeling of being able to go in there and come up with an answer, and it actually solves their problem. It gives me the feels. It makes me tingle. It feels good to be able to do that.
Not just that, and you don't have to start a business based on being a contributor. It looks great on your LinkedIn or your resume or whatever. If you're trying to get a job
working in WordPress.
Yeah, if you're trying to get a job working somewhere in WordPress, or maybe you're trying to work with Corey or anybody like that, if you're a contributor to WordPress, that sets you apart.
That indeed it does. And the more contributors, the better. And trust me, if you think you don't know anything that could help others, you know, Chris Lemma says it best when he says, you know, when you look ahead and see all those people that are smarter than you, turn around and there's just as many, if not more, that you're smarter than that you could help bring up to your level. So everybody has something to share and can help each other out, and that's going to take place this weekend if you're interested in contributing back to WordPress through the support forums. And with that, Marcus, why don't you give us our plugin picks of the week?
All right. Well, I've got some good ones. If you happen to be still using iTheme's business card theme out there and you're just too embarrassed to admit it, you can use this plugin. It's called Hide Your Theme Name, and it prevents people from detecting which theme your website is using. Your theme does not get renamed. The plugin just hides the name of it. So it's called Hide Your Theme Name if you're paranoid. The next one is called Invitations for Slack. We just mentioned Slack, and this allows you to build a Slack community by allowing your visitors, or at least registered users, to invite themselves to your Slack channel. That's pretty neat, called Invitations for Slack. And we've had the guys from Ninja Forms on the show before, and this one is called Ninja Forms Signature Contract Add-on. And this is a free repository plugin that goes into Ninja Forms. It allows you to instantly produce a legally binding, enforceable, and court-recognized contract from Ninja Forms. And then just like what you see on eSign or DocuSign or any of those other ones, they actually get to draw their signature at the bottom of it. So that's kind of a neat thing. It's called Ninja Forms Signature Contract Add-on. And those are my plugin picks of the week.
Awesome. That sounds like a very helpful plugin. So as some people have alluded to, I'm going to take a break. This is going to be our last show for at least a month. I'm going to sort of take advantage of this thing called unlimited vacation policy. And I've received permission to be able to take a month off. So I'm going to take a month off and get away from all things WordPress. I have a honey-do list a mile long, and I'm just going to try and relax and take a step back from all things WordPress and the daily grind that is the tavern of writing about all the cool stuff that's going on, because that, you know, that is what it is. It's a daily grind. And just sort of take this opportunity while I have it to take a step back, recharge, refocus, and come back with a sense of purpose, renewed energy to cover all things WordPress, and start working on getting a bunch of cool guests on for the month of March and onwards and upwards throughout the rest of the year. So, Marcus, you'll be able to have some extra time and your Wednesday nights to do whatever it is you do.
And I got plenty, too, because by the time we come back, I think I might have two announcements to make.
Oh, well, there you have it. So, everybody, look forward to, if you get bored, just listen to some of our previous episodes, because we have some gems in the archive. But until then, I'm going to miss you. Well, I'll talk to you again on somewhere the first week in March, which would be March 3rd, actually.
Yeah, we'll have a race if Stash comes out before our next episode.
Ah, that would be great. We'd be able to talk about that. So with that said, this episode... Show notes for this episode and all other episodes of WordPress Weekly can be found on wptavern.com. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, JeffrO0, and I'll probably be tweeting up a lot of bull crap because I'll have time to do so throughout the month of February. So that's how you can find me and Marcus.
You can find me at my website, marcuscouch.com, and I encourage you to sign up to my mailing list because I'll be previewing some of those announcements to you early. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Marcus Couch.
Awesome. So that does it for this show. We'll see you again in March. Until then, everybody take care and stay safe.